Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, "And I was placed upon the sand of the sea." There is a difference in the translations, as we mentioned to you last week. Some Greek texts read, "And he stood on the sand of the sea," making reference to Satan or the dragon in chapter 12. "And I saw a beast rising up from out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns." That would be the word diadem, which means royalty. "And upon his heads a name," or as some Greek texts say, "names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet as of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave to him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been slain unto death, and the wound of his death was healed." Therapeuo, our word for therapy, it was restored. "And the whole earth marveled after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is likened to him? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And authority was given to him to function 42 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemy toward God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and the ones tabernacling in heaven, and was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe and language and nation. And all of the ones dwelling upon the earth gave worship to it, of whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, the one who has been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, hear." That's a command. "If anyone is leading into captivity, he will be led into captivity. If anyone is killing, will kill with the sword, it is necessary that he should be killed with the sword. Here is the endurance and the faith of the saints." Chapters 12 and 13 are two important chapters in the Bible. Chapter 12 is probably one of the most important chapters in the Bible, as chapter 12, in summary form and in symbolic form, tells us and represents the history of all of Israel. And the dragon represents Satan. In chapter 12, we saw that in verse 9, that he's identified as Satan in this symbolic presentation. That the dragon has been pursuing the woman, who is Israel, as Israel has waited to give birth to Messiah. And Satan was waiting for her to give birth to Messiah so that he could destroy and consume the Messiah. All the way through Israel's history, if you start even in the book of Genesis, Satan has been trying to kill off the seed, the descendancy, through which the Messiah was to come. Even up to the point where It's specifically said not just from the Jews, but through David and his family would Messiah come. And then Satan focused on that part of history. From that time on, Satan began to focus on David's ancestry and attempting to kill off the kings and those who were in line with the inheritance down through the seed of David. Even to the point that when Jesus was born, Satan, through Herod, tried to kill all the baby children in Bethlehem. He wanted it because the Christ child would be a threat to him. But in reality, Satan behind him is still trying to kill the Messiah, still trying to kill the Christ child. All through the life's the time of the Lord's ministry, is that various groups and various people tried to kill him. But God wouldn't let him because his time had not yet come. Until the ultimate time came, the open window, when Satan used that open window to have Jesus Christ crucified, only to have Jesus rise from the dead, not only rise from the dead, but to ascend up to the right hand of the Father. So he conquered death. He conquered Satan, and he conquered death, and he's at the right hand of the Father. So now what does Satan do? He's waiting for Christ's second return. He is arranging the political and economic and religious systems of the world to unite it into one in order to group everybody into the Valley of Megiddo outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, and be ready to fight against Jesus Christ when he comes at his second coming. It's his last chance because he knows that when Christ sets up his kingdom, that he, that is Satan, is doomed. He knows what his end will be, so he's trying to prevent that from happening, even though he already knows he can't stop it. That's like in the dictionary alongside of the word stupid. That line ought to be put there. Satan is the stupidest one of all. He knows he will be defeated, but he's trying not to be. Got to give it that effort. So even now, Satan is rearranging the systems of the world, making people angry, making people hostile, so that they will get mad against God, and that's one of the requirements to be in his army. Be angry against God, even to the point of fighting against the Lord at his second coming. But Satan doesn't know when that time frame will be. He knows that after the church is gone, then he has but 7 years. And he knows that after the image is put up in the Holy of Holies, the abomination of desolation, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, 3.5 years into the tribulation, that he only has 3.5 years left. That's it. He's kicked completely out of heaven, and he knows he only has but a short time. He knows he's got 3.5 years. But see, even now, and later on, when we get into chapter 17, we're going to talk about the Antichrist. The Bible is very clear that the Antichrist will not be Jewish. The Antichrist will be Assyrian in background and in nature. And people ask the question, so do you think that the Antichrist is alive today on the earth? Yes, he has been since Paul's day. It's not any one certain person. Satan has to have somebody ready all the time because he doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. He doesn't know when the church is going to leave. He doesn't know what the time frame is. He knows it's 7 years, but he doesn't know 7 years from when. Could be today. He's got to be ready. So if it happened today, Satan will empower with demonic force a person who will be the perfect military leader, perfect politician. He will be a peacemaker. The Bible says that the earth will be destroyed with peace. He will unite everybody. Everybody will give over their political systems and countries to him. And then 3.5 years in, after he helps the Jews rebuild their temple, he will set up his image in the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says the image is actually going to come to life. It's going to speak. And It's going to come to life, and the whole economic system then changes. The Bible says that you will not be able to buy or sell food until you have the mark of the beast on your right hand and forehead. We'll see that at the end of chapter 13. But in order, and all Christians, they get all worried about this. You know, look at your bank account or look at your telephone number or your post office box and see if you've got post office box 666, that you get a little worried about it. You know, well, have I taken the number? No, it won't be your number, it'll be his number. And secondly, you can't get that mark unless you worship the image. So it's not going to be like you go down to your local bank and get stamped with a number. The only way you can get his number is to worship the image. So if you haven't worshiped the image, you don't have to worry about it. But once you get that number stamped on your right hand and your forehead, there's no way for salvation after that happens. That's right in the middle of the tribulation period, so we don't have to worry yet about that number. And so chapter 12 of the book of Revelation presents this history to us and brings us up to the point of the middle of the tribulation when Satan is kicked out of heaven completely, and he knows he has but a short time, and so he's just ravaging the earth in terror. In chapter 13, we have two beasts. The first beast is verses 1 through 10. The second beast is 11 to 18. You have the dragon and two beasts. As I pointed out to you last week, Satan is a counterfeit God. Counterfeit. He has a trinity, just like the Godhead. There is the dragon, who is Satan himself. This first beast that arises out of the sea is the Antichrist, and the dragon empowers this beast. And then the second beast that rises up out of the earth, that beast is the prophet, or the Antichrist, who corresponds to the Holy Spirit. And the number 666, by the way, is not 666. It's 6 three times. Not 666, it is 666. 6 is the number of man. That's what the end of chapter 13 tells us, that 6 is the number of man, and 666 represents the trinity of Satan. 6 three times. And he will come, and we're in this section where we're studying about the Antichrist that has come. We saw, first of all, his description. There's 10 things about his description. That he is a beast that rises up from out of the sea. That he has, first of all, seven heads and 10 horns. Seven being the number of completion. Heads meaning intelligence. These represent the seven world empires and their intellectual capacities. He had 10 crowns, 10 horns, which represent power. These are the 10 nations mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, which will be on the earth at the time the Antichrist will rise up. And also there will be crowns upon his horns. They will be the ruling nations on the earth that the Antichrist will control. Fourthly, he has upon his heads a name or names of blasphemy. And in those days when kings and pharaohs or Caesars would take office, they would wear a crown that would have some kind of slogan such as, "I am God and all will worship me." It will be in blasphemy towards God. Fifthly, he'll be likened to a leopard. Sixthly, he'll have feet of a bear. And seventhly, he will have the mouth as of a lion. And again, we take that from Daniel chapter 7 and the vision of the four beasts rising up out of the sea, representing three nations. The leopard represents Greece as it conquers swiftly and quickly. His feet as of the bear, which represented the Medo-Persian Empire, and his mouth as a lion, which represents Babylon. And it was given to him. Notice there's five times in this list that the word given is mentioned. It's because God gives to the dragon the authority to give to the Antichrist all of these things to do. It's all under God's sovereignty. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that when the restrainer is taken out of the way, that the Antichrist will have the freedom to do, as Daniel says, according to his own will. He can do anything he wants to. God's going to remove all the restraint. He'll remove his spirit. And the Antichrist here on the earth in that 3.5-year period, when the tremendous judgments are taking place, is that God will be allow the dragon to give. The dragon gives to this Antichrist. This will be the eighth thing. His power, ninthly, his throne, and tenth, great authority. So Satan will give to the Antichrist. He will be like the counter to Jesus. Jesus was God in human form. He will be Satan in human form. He says in verse 3, that was the description of the Antichrist. Now the death of the Antichrist. He says, I saw one of his heads as it had been slain unto death, and the wound of his death was healed, therapeuo, restored, and the whole earth marveled after the beast. You see three things here. Number one, he receives a wound. I didn't mention this to you last week, so that you might want to mention this or write it down in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17. Zechariah 11, 17, it tells us that the Antichrist will be the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L, not idol as in not functioning, but idol as in an idol. He will be an idol shepherd, that he will suffer a head wound and an arm wound, that he will be wounded in the right eye and the arm. That's interesting that we're told in Revelation chapter 13 that this Antichrist will be wounded and unto death, but his wound will be healed, and that's a counterfeit to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole world is going to be watching this, and as he is brought back to life, the whole world, we see he receives the wound. We see that he is resurrected, and then the response is that the whole earth is going to marvel after the beast. They're going to say, who is like him? That's what they said. Who is like the beast? He will have all of the outward appearances of Jesus Christ when he comes. Verses 4 to 6, the divinity of the Antichrist. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. That'd be equivalent to us worshiping God the Father. They're going to worship Satan. And we worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. They're going to worship the dragon through the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto him? Who is able to make war with him? You see, there's already a military atmosphere and influence happening here. I'm God. We're going to be invaded. See, all these science films and all of these films coming out that depict some kind of evil outside force in the universe that's going to attack the world, and we have to be ready for it, you know. And this will be the Antichrist's presentation. Now, it's interesting here. Keep in mind that when the Antichrist is presenting a counterfeit to God and to Jesus Christ, is that he's presenting it as here on earth is heaven. Here on earth is heaven. Now, if that doesn't strike a chord, because there are ministries today that present, claim it here. Claim it for yourself here. Is that we're going to inherit the earth, so why wait? Get it now. And the appeal is going to be through the earthly material realm. It won't be about heaven. It won't be about we're just pilgrims passing through. It'll be, this is our home. But the Antichrist is going to tell people, look, somebody tried to kill me and I rose from the dead. I've set up my kingdom here on the earth. Does that sound familiar? I set up my kingdom here on the earth, and we are going to be invaded by an outside force. There'll be a person on a white horse with others on white horses, and they're going to invade our earth. And so we have to be ready to do battle. And they're going to say, who can do battle with the beast? Who's like him? Verse 5, and it was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Notice again, for the second time, it was given to him to speak these things. And thirdly, an authority was given for him to function for 42 months. So notice the second and third time, the things were given to him. I want to point out to you about this. He was speaking great and blasphemous things. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, it is recorded that Satan, when he rebelled against God, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. That's Satan. He says, I'm going to be like God. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, what Daniel saw was a beast with 10 horns, same thing that John saw here in Revelation, and from out of 3 of the horns came a little horn. And the little horn is the Antichrist. He will rise up amongst 3 nations. He will absorb those 3, and they will become 7. But here's what here is about the little horn. The little horn is with eyes of a man and a mouth. So it's going to be a person speaking great things, arrogant things, that he is God. In other words, you mess with me. So he's speaking great and blasphemous things, and authority was given to him to function for 42 months. Interesting that there's a time limit. God says, Satan, you can empower the Antichrist, who in turn will empower the prophet, and you only got 42 months. So even God's in control of how much damage and the process is going to take place. God puts limits. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth for blasphemy toward or against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and the ones who are tabernacling with him in heaven. I want you to notice that he opens his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. We are told in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, that when the Antichrist comes, he will speak great words against the Most High. Because he's going to come and he's going to claim, Jesus Christ came in history, and Jesus Christ is false, and Satan is going to say he is God, and that Jesus Christ is a false Messiah. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, it says, and he will do according to his own will. During that 42 months, God says, I'm not going to restrain you. I'm just going to put limits. You got 42 months. He's going to do according to his will, and he will exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, small g, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. He has this mouth that basically says anybody who is God and worship God other than him, it's blasphemy. He's going to blaspheme his name. Now, in the Bible, when you blaspheme someone's name, you blaspheme who the person is. The person's name is the summary of the attributes of that person. Why the Caesar? Caesar's a title. There were many Caesars. There were many pharaohs. And they held these titles because it represented who they wanted people to to take them to be. They're kings. They're in charge. They're superior. But when he blasphemes God's name, he's going to say these Christians, they have Bibles. And it presents the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's a hoax, and it was all made up. It's blasphemy. And he's going to exalt himself as being God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 12, Paul says that when the Antichrist comes, he will exalt himself and set up himself in the temple as being God. And that he will deceive the whole world with signs and lying wonders. One of them's going to be a resurrection from the dead. Is it going to happen? Yes. But the conclusion, what it's going to be used for, is blasphemy. It's false. So know this, and we're going to stop there for today, about the divinity of the Antichrist. First, his characteristics or his descriptions, his death, and then his divinity. Is that he's going to come and he's going to present himself and he's going to counter everything that Jesus did. And he's going to present himself in counter to everything that God is. And he's going to present himself as being God, and he's going to convince people that he is God, not just by his words, but he's going to perform miracles. He's going to perform signs and wonders and present himself, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, present himself as being God. Say, well, that's interesting information. What does that have to do with us? It tells us that Satan has the power to duplicate many things that God can do. Satan has the power to heal. Satan has the power to do miracles, signs, and wonders in God's name. We're told by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan appears to be an angel of light and that he has disciples who are in amongst the church, the body of Christ, who are presenting themselves as ministers of righteousness. They have disciplined themselves to talk like Christians, act like Christians, preach from the Bible. Problem is, it's false. False teaching. You can see why in years past, and now it's just a wide activity within the church, among the church, in the world, for people to be attracted to miracles and signs and wonders. Am I saying that God does not heal? No, he heals. But I want you to also know that Satan can heal. Can God perform miracles? Well, of course. So can Satan. And Satan is going to convince people that he is the real Messiah by signs and lying wonders. Doesn't mean they're false. It means they actually happen. But the one who is the father of lies, he's performing those miracles in order to influence people as to who he is. Will it happen in the tribulation period? Yes. Is it happening now? Yes. Is that God's people are being introduced to false experiences? Does that mean they're not experiencing something real? No, they are experiencing something real, but it's false in that it's not the Holy Spirit. They're people who are chasing emotional experiences because emotion has energy to it. But it's not spirit. People follow signs and wonders. And again, I've seen God perform miracles in my own life, and I've seen God perform miracles around me to other people. That's what God does. but to be influenced by that, to follow seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what Paul said to Timothy. In the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's the order in which it happens. There's a seducing spirit, a spirit that seduces people into an experience, and then the doctrine comes second. That's all. That's false doctrine. When the experience comes first and then the doctrine comes second, once you're hooked on the experience, any scripture will justify what you're doing. It's always supposed to be doctrine first. Always test it with the word. Whether it's an emotional experience or a physical experience or a spiritual experience, and it can be a false spiritual experience with Satan, who appears as an angel of light. It must be tested. Test the spirits to see if they are of God, rather than choosing which experiences we'd like to have and which ones we wouldn't. What ones feel good and which ones don't. And once Satan can get people in the flesh, that just ushers in the Antichrist and his one world religious system. For 3.5 years, he's going to preach, live your best life now. And then he's going to turn. He'll be a man of peace and love. And he's going to set up his image in the Holy of Holies. And he's going to say, now I've got you. Now you belong to me. And we're going to get ready for Jesus Christ and his second coming. And we're going to fight against him. Because my survival is at stake. So it's actually a war between God and Satan. And all of life is playing out to what's going on in the spirit realm. We try to judge the Bible and the spirit realm by here on earth and the earthly circumstances, we'll miss it. But we have got to learn from the principles in the scriptures of just how powerful Satan is. He's the deceiver. He's a liar. And he will lie to the point of presenting himself as God and give people false experiences. They're real, but they're not God. They're not what Satan says they are or what they're for or what they're from. We have to be cautious. But again, the experiences are running rampant amongst those who profess to be Christian. We need to test the spirit. We need to learn the word. Be aware. We can be caught up into false experiences that are not God, but ones that might make us feel good or give us some kind of human or fleshly benefit. We need to, Paul says, we are not ignorant of Satan's ways, and we shouldn't be. We should understand that just because somebody comes along and says in the name of God and somebody gets healed doesn't mean it's from God. And what's it going to do to you? Where's it going to lead you? Where's it going to point you? That's the whole point. Is it going to lead you to Jesus Christ, or are they going to say, no, follow that teacher or follow that leader? He has the power. Close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that warns us, your word that teaches us, your word that instructs us. We pray that we would not become ignorant of Satan's devices, that we will understand that he's not outside the church rebelling only, but he's also in amongst the church with false teachers, false experiences. Though they are real in experience, they are false in their presentation. We pray that you would give us a sensitivity, that we would test everything that we hear and everything that we experience with your spirit and with your word, and that you would give us your discernment to be able to perceive the things of Christ, especially in these last days as we are about ready to enter into this 7-year period of of tribulation on the earth. We don't know when it's going to start, but we know that the forces, earthly forces, are already regrouping and redesigning religious, economic, and political systems on the earth. Be ready for the Antichrist. Help us to learn with discernment, live with discernment, and to walk in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.